Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
This is Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly. Now, the US first quarter GDP growth for this year was in at 6.4% against the estimate of 6.5%. But some observers say this signifies a major surge in economic activity after the pandemic battered it. Now, meanwhile, consumer spending rose by 10.7% in March quarter compared with a 2.3% rise in the previous quarter. So it appears that the stimulus put out by the Biden administration and good vaccination progress perhaps have helped prop up the US economy. But could there still be worries lurking, one of them possibly inflation? Well, we're joined now by David Balin, and he's the Chief Investment Officer and Managing Director at Citi Private Bank. David, welcome back to Primetime.
Thank you, Rachel. I'm thrilled to be here.
It's always great to have you with us, David. So let's start off by talking about those GDP numbers. I believe the forecast was for 6.5%. We're in at 6.4%. What are your thoughts on the latest numbers?
Well, if we put them in context, they're pretty strong. You know, this is an economy that's highly distorted, right? A portion of it, you know, our stay-at-home industries, right? Everything from streaming to food delivery, right? To buying TVs or dishwashers, all of that stuff is going gangbusters, running, you know, well ahead of that anything that we saw in 2019. Mm-hmm. And all of the leave your home activities, right, like travel and hotels and restaurants, those are all doing terribly. And now, of course, people are leaving their homes. And so the economy is going through a huge distortion. But the total growth of the economy, right, this number of 6.5% is pretty extraordinary. Remember that 3% is typical. So this is an economy that's growing at twice, you know, twice normal. And I think it could do that for the next, you know, year, year and a half, at least.
Wow. So when you're looking at perhaps the second, third and fourth quarter, are you looking at similar numbers, David?
Certainly for the rest of this year. It depends, you know, about how people go about spending. In the US, there's an enormous amount of savings, and it really depends upon how people put that to work. Right now, they're spending a great deal and they're likely to do so. And then eventually the government stimulus will stop and the economy will normalize, and it probably will normalize at a rate lower than that, but still well above average for at least a couple of years, I think.
And so David, let's talk about some other data that's come out of the US as well, because we did have the initial jobless claims in for the week, and I believe they came in at about 406. What are your thoughts on the overall trend that we're seeing there, trending lower again, a sign that perhaps things are looking up?
Yeah, well, certainly the number of people that are filing for unemployment is falling pretty rapidly. Mm-hmm. It's not insignificant, but it's falling faster than people expect. The number of jobs that are open, I think, is greater than the number of people to fill them right now due to a whole lot of things. Right now, as I mentioned, depends on where you are in the economy. Mm. But you know, if you want to build a home today, you're going to find a job. And there are shortages in some places of available workers. Over the course, again, of the next 6 months, I think the economy will normalize. There'll be more people looking for employment because a lot of people have to find, for example, childcare, or when their kids go back to school in the fall. There's a lot of what I would describe as displacement within the workforce. And so I expect that, you know, the numbers of people looking for work will rise, the number of people looking for, you know, filing for unemployment will fall, and that will then normalize over the course of the next three quarters.
To what extent do you think the vaccine rollout has contributed to this? Because I understand, and we were just speaking before the call, and I understand that, you know, you've been vaccinated. We've seen quite a swift vaccine rollout in the US. What's overall sentiment like there? What's happening?
Well, the Biden administration and state governments have been extremely effective in distributing vaccines. We're at a point now in the United States where anyone who wants to get a vaccine in any of the 50 states can do so. We're now getting to the point where children are being vaccinated for the first time. So the extent of the vaccine rollout in the United States and the logistics of it have been pretty remarkable. So credit to the governments for doing that. That's not true everywhere. It's certainly not true in Europe. It's not true in Latin America. It's not true in Asia. You know, there are a few countries that have done it really well. And one of the reasons why the economy in the world is reopening more slowly than you might expect is because of the fact that the vaccines have not rolled out as quickly or as effectively as they have here. And that's one of the reasons why the reopening of the world economy is taking longer than it might have taken had they gotten vaccine distribution done better. So I think it's had a pretty profound impact. Everyone does not have to take the vaccine in order to have it be wildly effective, because when you get herd immunity, then the ability for the virus to spread drops precipitously. I think the U.S. has done a great job in that, and I think it will have a very profound impact on the economy here.
We're speaking with David Baylin, Chief Investment Officer and Managing Director at Citi Private Bank. So, David, we've also got to talk about inflation. I mean, while we talk about inflation this week, we're likely to be talking about inflation possibly for the rest of the year as well. And we did see the dollar gain some support this week. But where do you see the dollar going, and what's your take on the inflation story?
Yeah, we think the inflation story is pretty overblown.
Okay.
When an economy reopens, let me give an example, whether it's semiconductors or lumber or copper, and a supply chain is as empty and distorted as it is now, you're going to have a lot of unusually high prices for a short time. Mm. One example I was given was by someone who did logistics, who said, at the beginning of the pandemic and for probably the first 8 months, too many containers came to America, right, filled with goods and left with nothing. And then at some point, they stopped leaving America. And so there were literally, misplaced containers. So we weren't able to ship the goods that the U.S. needed from Asia. And these distortions, I think, are contributing to the normal activity that happens at the beginning of every economic reopening, where when the economy reaccelerates, things become in short supply. In order for inflation to be meaningful and sustained, what has to mm-hmm. happen is that demand has to outstrip supply for quite some time. And we don't see any evidence that that's going to happen, except in very few places. For example, in housing in America, where they hadn't built enough for the last 10 years, there can be continued shortages in that. But eventually, whether it's a car, or any other good, or and eventually every service, things will normalize. And we just don't see, this idea that we're going to somehow have sustained inflation. On the other hand, to your point, the one thing that has changed is that interest rates are not going to continue to go down forever, and inflation, which had gone down for many, many years, can't really go lower. It'll only go a little bit higher, right? And that change, I think, is an important one.
So, David, just on the back of that, speaking of interest rates in the current inflationary environment, what's your take on bonds at the moment?
We're pretty negative on bonds right now because interest rates are below where we would expect them to be. So right now, 160-ish on the 10-year. We expect by the end of this year, it could be at 2%, which is a very considerable gain from where we are now. Therefore, owning bonds, right, can generate a negative return in that environment. So what we've done is we've actually repositioned our portfolio so the clients are exposed to variable rate debt and also to inflation-linked or TIPS securities issued by the government, which will actually benefit by the short-term type of inflation we expect. But in general, we're about 8% underweight fixed income and 8% overweight equity in this environment.
Okay, so David, with everything that we've spoken about, from the GDP numbers to initial jobless claims to where we are with interest rates and inflation, what's your outlook for the U.S. dollar?
We expect that the dollar is going to strengthen a little bit from where we are now.
Okay.
And that's principally because interest rates are going to rise in the U.S. probably more than they're going to rise elsewhere for a bit of time. And, in addition, I think we have to attract capital, right, in order to fund the deficits that the government is running, which requires, I think, rates to go up, right, a bit of scarcity in terms of capital. So, that's really our long-term expectation, certainly over the next 12 months.
Wonderful. Well, David, thank you so much for joining us today.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Rachel, for having us, and I wish you a good weekend there in Asia.
Likewise. Always wonderful to have you with us, David. We've been speaking with David Baylin, Chief Investment Officer and Managing Director at Citi Private Bank. This is Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.